But first this morning, we are concluding our message series on discovering our shape for ministry. And we have looked in the past weeks, using that acronym SHAPE, we have looked at our spiritual gifts first, how God has gifted believers to serve in the kingdom of God. H stands for heart. We have looked at our heart and considered how God has given us a love, a passion for ministry in a specific area. He's wired us to participate in that kind of ministry. A is for abilities. He has given us abilities. God has not only given us spiritual gifts, He's given us natural abilities that we can surrender to His use in the kingdom of God and in His service. And last week we considered personality. That God has given each of us a unique personality. He has designed us with that personality so He could use us in a great mix of God's people. Those personalities coming together as God has designed it that we could serve Him in ministry. It's about learning our shape for ministry. And I hope if you have not already done so, I hope before we finish this up this week, for another week, you will go to our website and see the extra materials that we have there for you. In this message series, we can only go so deep, but the Bible has a lot to say about your shape for ministry. And if you'll access those materials on our website, you can learn more about that. If you don't use the internet or don't have a computer, let us know and we'll make hard copies of those same materials available to you. So those will be posted through the remainder of the week, and I hope you will access those if you haven't already and deepen your study on your shape for ministry. So today we come to the end of the study. E is for our experiences. God uses our experiences for His glory. God uses our experiences for ministry. This is important because this may be the turning point for many of us in understanding how God can use us for ministry. And here's what I mean. If you've been with us throughout this series, when we talked about spiritual gifts, you were probably saying, yes, I get that. God's given me a spiritual gift. God's given me a heart for ministry. God's given me a passion for ministry. When we talked about abilities, you probably said, yeah, I understand that. I've got some abilities that I can apply to ministry. Last week, we talked about personality. Everyone has a personality. But now we come to that one area that we struggle with. It could be the very reason that you have not fully surrendered yourself to let God use you in ministry wherever He wants, because you look at your life and you say, God can't use me because of my experiences, because my past is tainted, because it's been too rough. I want to get things right before, you know, I need to change my life before God uses me. But what we're going to learn this morning is that God uses you in your experiences, and God can use your experiences, your past, your failures, your struggles, and even your suffering. God can use that. In God's great plan and God's design, He knows who you are. He knows what you've been through, what you have done. And God sees that as part of your shape for ministry. You may remember, if you were watching the 5,000 meters race, August 20th at the Rio Olympics, you may remember this event. Paul Chelimo was the American runner that was doing great in the 5,000 meters for the men, and he won the silver medal, which was very significant. The American men had not won a medal in the 5,000 meters since 1964. And Paul Chelimo ran a great race, came in second, won the silver medal. An NBC reporter was interviewing him after the race and revealed on live TV at that moment something Chelimo did not know, and that was that he had been disqualified. He was taken aback by that, but he stayed in the interview, and the reporter showed him the clip, the replay of what had happened, and it seems on one of the last turns in the race, his left foot had stepped on the line and perhaps just a bit out of bounds, and he had been disqualified even before he came up for his interview. Well, as it turns out, there are a few reasons a runner can be disqualified, and there are a few reasons they can be disqualified and it be overturned, and he felt like it should be overturned, and he contacted the officials for the U.S., and they contacted the Olympic officials, and they reviewed the whole thing, and sure enough, they overturned his disqualification, and they reinstated him to the silver medal. And this is what he said in the next interview that came after his disqualification was overturned. He said, "When I heard the interviewer, the NBC interviewer, I thought he was joking. But," he said, "now I'm really happy." He said, "I got reinstated. It's the best feeling ever. It's the best feeling ever." Yes, it is. It feels great to win. It feels terrible to be disqualified. But you can't imagine the feeling of having your disqualification overturned. You can't imagine how great it feels to be reinstated once you've been disqualified, to be brought back to where you were and suddenly become useful. It's a good picture of what the Lord does for us in salvation, in forgiveness. We are, the Bible says, disqualified from ministry by our sin. We are sinners. We're disqualified. And some of us think that we're disqualified by other things in our past, by our suffering, our flaws, our failures. So we struggle with it. How could God use our experiences? But in Christ Jesus, we are reinstated. We are brought back. And we are useful to God for His glory. And God uses your experiences for His glory if you will surrender all of that to Him. It's part of your shape. It's part of my shape, our experiences. And God can use those experiences in ministry if we will give all of that to Him. If you have your Bible with you, find a familiar passage, what is familiar for many of us, in the book of Romans and chapter 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul wrote these words as he was communicating with the Roman believers about suffering. He had already communicated with them about sin and how God forgives us of our sin in Christ and we have freedom in Christ. And he says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he turns to the subject of suffering. For all people suffer, believers and unbelievers alike. And he gives perspective on how believers should understand their suffering. In the context of that, he also helps us understand our past failures and flaws and our suffering, all of our experiences, and how God can use those in our shape for ministry. So in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the apostle says this. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." God can use our experiences. God can use our shape. Notice who Paul is talking to. He's talking to those who love God. That is, those who are believers in Christ. Those who wonder, now that I've come to Christ, can He use me at all? Can He use my experiences? What about my suffering? What about my past failures? What can God do with all of that? And the apostle says, for those who love God, we have good news. He says, there's something that we know. And we need to hone in on this. We need to park here for just a moment. The apostle says, this is something we know. And the term means something we are convinced of. It's something that's absolute, and there's no reason to question it. And what we know is how God uses the experiences of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. I want you to see with me a couple of truths this morning related to, as the apostle says, what we know. What the Bible says we absolutely know about God using our experiences. First, we know that God always works for good. We know that God always works for good. We can say that. We know that God always works for good because God is good by nature. All that He does, all that He's created, all His actions toward you and toward me are always good. So that means when God takes in hand your suffering or your past or your experiences, He works them together for good. He works them out for good. The phrase Paul uses that says he causes all things to work together for good is literally working together for good, and could say all the time. Working together, that is, God is always doing this. He's always working in your life and working things together for good in your life. Notice Paul doesn't say that all things are good. He doesn't say that. Because you and I both know all things are not good. In our lives, we live in a fallen world. Things are not always good. That's why we need to know and remember that God, when God is at work and He is the agent at work in our lives, He works all things together for good. He's always bringing about good. That's His goal, that's His power, and that's His plan. And God alone can do that, can shape our experiences and shape our lives for His good. We use the phrase occasionally when things happen in our lives and we come out the other side, we use the phrase, well, everything worked out. I'm so glad everything worked out. Well, the truth is, things don't just work out on their own. Life is not passive that way. Your actions happen and you apply your actions and your hand to things. And what we mean when we say things work out as believers, we're looking at the moment and we're saying God worked in this situation. And God has been at work in this situation. He wants to honor Himself and glorify Himself in your experiences and in your life. And one way He does that is by working out things for good. All things, God works for good. That brings us to the second truth I want us to consider this morning. Not only do we know that God always works for good, we also know that God never wastes our experiences. Never wastes our experiences. Notice Paul said, God calls us all things to work together for good. All things. He doesn't leave anything out in your life. The life that is yielded to Him, that's surrendered to Him, God is working in all things in that life to bring about good. That means all of your experiences, whatever has happened to you and whatever you have done, if you are surrendered to God, God can use that. He wastes no experiences in your life. In your shape for ministry, God can use all of those experiences. I want us to consider ways that God does that for a moment. For example, God uses our suffering. God uses our suffering. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing to a young church called Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 4, speaks about suffering. And he asks a rhetorical question, and the obvious answer to the question is going to be no. But it's a powerful way to teach that God uses all of our suffering and our experience. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul says to them, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Well, the answer is no, it was not in vain, it was not useless, it was not empty, because God can use and does use our suffering when we are yielded to Him. He uses those experiences. Well, how does God do that? Now, what does God bring about out of your suffering? How can God use it? Well, the Bible teaches that God can use our suffering to give us wisdom. We become seasoned and mature believers when God brings us through a time of suffering. So along with that, God uses suffering to give us humility. How prideful we can be when everything is sailing along. We think we're doing great. We think we're in charge, and because we're in charge, everything is going great. And we forget we live in a fallen world. We forget that bad things can happen. We forget that sometimes people suffer. And God will bring us through those trials and those times, and we come out the other side with great humility. How many people I've known, how many believers I've known that spoke of that humility after a time of suffering. God also uses those times of suffering to demonstrate to us the power of God. The Bible teaches that in times of suffering is when we step up, we build character traits like perseverance, and we experience the grace and the power of God in those times of suffering. We realize how God is sufficient for us, how His grace is sufficient for us in those times of suffering. It's those times we thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this, and then we realize that we're making it through because of Christ. We're making it through because God is the one that we're relying on. God is the one that we're trusting. God is the one that we're walking with. We could not make it on our own, but we are making it through because of Christ. And one more thing the Bible teaches, another way that God uses your suffering is, and that is to minister to other people. And the Bible teaches that the things we go through are ways that we can help people going through those same things. We are seasoned now. We are wiser now. And we have stuck with God through that suffering. And He will bring people along your path that you can speak to them about God, and you can pray with them, and you can share the Word of God with them. God uses our suffering. He uses those experiences and doesn't waste any of them if we will yield them to Him and trust Him. Second, God pardons our past. God pardons our past. The past that we think anchors us down and prevents us from serving God, prevents us from being faithful. God pardons that. If we ask Him, He forgives our past and helps us look to the future. The Apostle John wrote a letter we call 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1, he is talking to believers in Christ, especially young believers, teaching them about God's forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, John says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is faithful. God is faithful. We are not very faithful. But here's another thing that we know. We know that God is faithful. And we know that if we repent of our sin, if we ask God for forgiveness of sin, God will always forgive us if we're sincere. He always will. If you're struggling with your experiences of the past, your failures, your sins, your problems, but you believe God has forgiven you of that past, let it go. Let God use it in your future. Let God use it in ministry. Give it to the Lord and know that He has pardoned your past and He will use those experiences in what He wants to do in your life and through your life for ministry. God forgives us and He uses those experiences for His glory. 2 weeks ago when I was in Boston visiting church planters, I had an opportunity to meet a young church planter, mid-20s, named Cody. And Cody had an interesting story. Cody is in a port city town on the coast, and it's actually the original town, the first port in America. It's the site that was depicted in the motion picture, The Perfect Storm. And that's where Cody is serving now and seeking to plant a church. He's being mentored by the Southern Baptist North American Mission Board, serving there, faithfully waiting for that opportunity, but in the meantime, building relationships. Cody is a native of New England. But when he was a child, his family moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's where he grew up. And growing up in Charlotte, North Carolina, Cody became a drug addict and got addicted to narcotics. And was around people that were addicted to narcotics. He just stayed in this drug habit, stayed in his addiction. And one thing led to another, and God got through to him, and Cody came to Christ. And when Cody came to Christ, God set him free of that addiction in a powerful way. Well, now Cody, saved, wanting to serve Christ, feels God pulling him back to New England. So Cody goes online and he starts researching places in New England he might be able to live and to serve the Lord. And he comes across a church that by God's design turns out to be a church affiliated with Southern Baptist, an evangelical church in this area. So he connects with them and they begin to mentor him, and he connects with the North American Mission Board and they begin to train him to be a church planter, and which takes a good while. Now, what you need to know along the way is that this same area, this same fishing area, the seaport in Massachusetts, so famed for its fishing, has seen the fishing industry decline by 90% in just the last decade. The whole industry has pulled back, and so the economy has pulled back also. Looking for something else to prop up the economy, drugs started coming in. The drug problem in this same area is huge, and it's exploded in the last decade. God has brought Cody back to this seaport community. In the year that he's been there being nurtured for ministry and preparing to be a church planter, Cody has gotten to know people in the community, and they've gotten to know him. The police department now calls him to help with addicts and to help with other problems that they have, to help them understand the problem. They look to Cody. He's made a place for himself in that community because God set him free. God set him free. God saved him, and he knows what God can do. And his experiences in his past haven't tainted what God can do. It's what God uses. It's what God uses. Remember that God has pardoned your past, and God wants to use those experiences in ministry. God wants to use them right where you are or wherever he calls you to, but the key is to be yielded to God. and what God wants to do in your life. Then third, God shapes our future. He wastes no experiences, and He shapes our future. We must be willing to surrender that future to Him and understand. We may not understand everything that's going on all the time or everything that God is doing, but God is at work for good, and God is preparing us for what He wants us to do as He shapes that future. In just a few minutes, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper, communion, just as the Lord did with His disciples on that last night before He was arrested. And the Gospel of John records details of that night and says that during that evening, as the Lord was with His disciples, His apostles together, He wanted to demonstrate to them what it meant to be a servant. So He got a basin of water and a towel, and He set them down, and he began to wash their feet. But when He came to the Apostle Peter rebelled. He said, "You will not wash my feet. I'm your servant. You're not my servant. That's not how this works." But Jesus wanted Peter to understand that the future was in God's hands. And in John chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, Jesus answered Peter this way. Jesus said, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." What I'm doing, you may not understand right now, but you will understand one day. When you give your life to Christ and you trust your experiences to Him and you trust Him to shape your future, you may not understand everything happening in your life right now, but God will shape those experiences, all of those experiences. None go wasted, and God will use those for what He wants to do in your life and what He wants to do in ministry. Would you trust God to do that? Would you trust Christ with all of your experiences, with all of your past, with all of your failures, with all of your flaws? Would you trust Christ for the one thing that you've been stumbling over and say, "God, let me give this to you today. Let me give this to you today." You know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You know that He has redeemed you. You know that you have new life in Christ. Will you let Him use you in ministry and use your experiences for the future? Have you ever wondered what people do after they win an Olympic medal? This summer, a 6-year-old girl, Chloe Smith, and her dad were walking through their neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia, and Chloe looked over into a trash pile on the side of the road and saw a glimmer, kind of a gleam, and she went over there and she looked a little more closely, and she pulled out of the trash pile what looked like a gold medal. And she and her dad took it home and they dusted it off, and sure enough, that's what it was. It was an Olympic gold medal. And it occurred to her dad that he had heard a news report earlier in the summer where an Olympian was in Atlanta and had his gold medal stolen out of his car. The Olympian was Joe Jacoby, and he had been in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. So they went on social media and they started researching where Joe was to try to find him, and they found him and they contacted him. They sent him a picture of the medal, and he said, "Yes. Yes, that's my gold medal." Came back to Atlanta, and they had the delight of giving back to him his prized possession, this gold medal. You know, the Bible says that before we come to Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's just another way of saying we're on the trash heap. We have been discarded, and our sin has left us where we can never come back. We've been disqualified. And then Christ comes and finds us. He came and He found you. He pulled you from the trash heap. You gave your life to Christ. He dusted you off. And it was His privilege and His pleasure to return you to the Father, the one who created you in the first place, the one who wants you to serve in ministry, the one who wants to still grow you in your faith, the one who will use all of those experiences in His power to shape you to be the person He wants you to be. The question is, will you yield that to Him? Will you give to Him your experiences? Will you give to Him your life and say, "Whatever you want, God, that's what I'll do. Whatever you desire, that's what I'll do"? Will you trust God with all of it? When we receive the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And Jesus is the one that told us to do this. He said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Never forget that it's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that gave us the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And every time we take this bread and this cup, we're remembering salvation in Christ. We're remembering the one who pulled us from the trash heap. We're remembering the one who came to us. Even when we didn't know he loved us, he still came to us. Even while we were still sinners, still in the trash heap, he came and he died on the cross for us. The bread represents his body, the Bible says, broken for us. The cup represents his blood, the Bible says, poured out for our sins, because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So in a moment, we're going to share together in this Lord's Supper. And I want to encourage you, while the elements are being passed, to pray, to ask God to search your heart, to see if there's anything the Lord needs to work out of you. And also, would you in that time, surrender anew to him, surrender again your shape, your experiences, your life, and say, God, whatever it is you want, God, that's what I want to do. I want to do that for you. You don't have to be a member at First Baptist Church to participate with us, but the Bible says you do need to know you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're not sure if you've ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you're not sure if you've taken that step of faith, I'm going to ask you to have the courage to let those elements go by. Just let the bread and the cup go by. And the good news is that before we finish everything this morning, I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. I'm going to invite you to take that step of faith, to repent of your sins, and ask Jesus Christ into your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are delighted, God, for this remembrance. We are humbled and privileged at this remembrance that we can pause and receive again communion. We can receive again this bread and this cup and remember, God, what you've done for us on the cross. For that one who needs Christ as their Savior this morning, God, I pray they'd have the courage to say, that's not me, I haven't done that, I need to let this go by. But also, God, may you speak to their hearts that they need Christ today. And Father, I pray that this moment would be a reverent moment, it would be a powerful moment, it would be a moment, God, when we reflect on all that you've done for us in Christ, and also a moment, God, when we would surrender in faith again to you, that you would use us in ministry, God, as you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.